Christian Heritage Ministry, in cooperation with Fuller Seminary, proudly presents the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, a broadcast of the Gospel with Dr. Charles E. Fuller.
And sing Heavenly Sunshine. My, how this chorus has gone across the nations of ties us together in fellowship when we sing this chorus, and we want you to sing with us out in the radio audience. And now, it was quite a thrill last Sunday at the War Memorial Building in Syracuse, New York, to hear you sing Heavenly Sunshine from Long Beach. It's good to be back home, and I want you to just sing now as you've never done before and really lift it up. All together on Heavenly Sunshine. Turn around, shake hands now. All together.
Heavenly Sunshine.
Turn around, give everybody a good hand. I don't know which did the better of the two last Sunday, and I'm not going to make any statement. I'm going to play on the safe side. You both did well here and also in Syracuse, New York. Now, isn't that the best way to handle a very delicate situation? But if you'll sing now as you've never done before, you'll know about which way I'll cast my vote. All right.
About 5,000 years ago, old Noah built the ark. For God had said it's going to rain, the sky was getting dark. The animals had passed inside, the scoffers standing round asked Noah if he thought he'd sail his ark upon dry ground. Old Noah pulled the gangplank in and God did shut the door. The sky grew black, the lightnings flashed, the thunders, they did roar. My, didn't it rain? My, didn't it rain? It rained for 40 days and nights. The water covered the mountain heights. My, didn't it rain? My, didn't it rain? The ark, it sailed clear out of sight. My, didn't it rain? Old Moses went at God's command to call on Pharaoh. The king of Egypt said, I'll never let your people go. To hold a harum-scarum camp out in the wilderness, to propagate their doctrine of a soul called holiness. Then Moses said to Aaron, let us magnify our Lord. He stepped out on the riverbank and held aloft his rod. My, didn't it rain? My, didn't it rain? The locust, frogs, and lice and flies came tumbling down from out of the skies. My, didn't it rain? My, didn't it rain? It made old Pharaoh bat his eyes. My, didn't it rain? Ahab reigned in Israel back in the long ago. The drought was on, they'd had no rain for 40 months or so. Old Ahab went to eat and drink, Elijah went to pray. His servant said, there is no use, don't fool your time away. But soon a small-sized cloud appeared in less than half an hour. Cried Elijah, get your parasols, we're going to have a shower. My, didn't it rain? My, didn't it rain? The sky grew black, the storm it broke. Old Ahab found it was not a joke. My, didn't it rain? My, didn't it rain? He took no coat, so he got soaked.
That was Bill McDougall of the quartet. We'll have a word in reference to Bill just a little bit later. Friends, if you agree with us that this radio ministry is of God, then I'm sure you will want to do your part as a child of God that this ministry may continue from week to week. Therefore, if you have not recently written, may we not have a letter from you this week. We so appreciate hearing from you from time to time, so please do not disappoint us. And this hour's from week to week, just as God lays it upon the hearts of those of the radio audience.
When comes to the weary a blessed release, when upward we pass to his kingdom of peace, when free from the woes that on earth we must bear, we'll say good night here, but good morning up there. Good morning up there, where Christ is the light. Good morning up there, where cometh no night. When we step from this earth to God's heaven so fair, we'll say good night here, but good morning up there. When home lights we see shining brightly above, where we shall be soon through his wonderful love, we'll praise him who called us his heaven to share. We'll say good night here, but good morning up there. Good morning up there, where Christ is the light. Good morning up there, where cometh no night. When we step from this earth to God's heaven so
Sorry, Mrs. Fuller's not with me today to read the letters to you. I know it's one of the features that many of you look forward to on the old-fashioned revival hour. Lord willing, she'll be with us next Sunday. At this time, I'm going to ask Bill McDougall of the quartet to come and stand in front of the microphone here with me. Bill has been with us for 14 years. And Bill, I just want you to know that you've been a pillar of strength to us. And how much we appreciate the wonderful work that you've done in backing up this hour with your prayers and your presence. And every Sunday I want the audience to know that the quartet and many of the chorus, as possible, go down and do personal work at the close of the hour. And Bill's right there, eager to win souls to Christ. And Bill, this is your last Sunday with us. He's going out into evangelistic work, into evangelistic singing. And I just want to say that any evangelist that will have your services will be fortunate indeed. And I covet the prayers of the old-fashioned revival hour audience to go with you, Bill. We'll miss you, and we pray God's blessing upon you. I'd like to have you just say a word to the radio audience.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fuller. It's with a little fear and a little apprehension that I say goodbye to the old-fashioned revival hour, and yet we realize that we're not saying goodbye, because by the miracle of radio, I know that we'll be in contact with one another wherever we go. And these last years have been precious. And we've almost every Sunday requested prayers of the listening audience for this work and the members of it. And lo and behold, apparently some of the prayers have been answered, because God's been speaking to my heart for a good number of months and has laid it upon my heart and opened the door of opportunity to get out into the vineyard of evangelism. And I still want to continue to ask you, or want to ask you, your continued prayers in my behalf, that God may continue to use me. And Dr. Fuller has been quoting this wonderful verse of Scripture as the verse upon which the work of the old-fashioned revival hour has been founded all these many years. It's the second chapter of Ephesians and the 10th verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I can't resist the call any longer. I've got to get out. God's been speaking to my heart, and he's spoken to the heart of my wife and family, and it's all okay. We've got the go-ahead from them, and the sky's the limit as far as I'm concerned. I want to be expendable for him.
I've asked the chorus choir to sing especially, Bill, before you leave, this song. Listen to it carefully.
God be with you till we
Verses of number 125, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, bringing in the sheaves, everyone singing with us and join with us in the radio audience. Standing for prayer and every head bowed, please, and eyes closed. We thank thee, gracious Heavenly Father, that they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. And we thank thee for the privilege of sowing the seed into the four corners of the earth and beseeching men and women everywhere to be reconciled to thee through Christ. And we thank thee for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that has brought thousands upon thousands to a saving knowledge of thy beloved Son. And to every soul outside of Christ today, we pray that the Holy Spirit may do his convicting work in an unusual way. We pray for those in authority over us today. We pray especially for those in high places, that they may turn their eyes more and more unto thee and come back to the paths of righteousness and the high standards of morality, that our country may be spared the oppressor's hand, if it be thy will. O blessed Heavenly Father, may this country be a place where the gospel is propagated and sent forth to a needy world. And now take this broadcast and send it out, and may thousands of precious souls be saved today, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You are listening to the Old Fashioned Revival Hour with Dr. Charles E. Fuller. The message for today is titled, Duty, Responsibility, and Practice. I'll provide additional information after Dr. Fuller's message. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12 as we rejoin the broadcast.
Oh, where shall I go?
Where shall I go? Where shall I go? For there is my trembling mind.
Oh,
where shall I go? Where shall I go? Where shall I go? For there is my trembling mind.
I want to go to heaven, but I want to go wrong.
To ease my trembling mind.
I've got to keep a-praying both day and night.
To ease my trembling mind.
Oh,
where shall I go? Where shall I go? Where shall I go? For to ease my trembling mind.
There's a star in the east and a star in the west.
To ease my trembling mind.
I wish that star was in my breast.
To ease my trembling mind.
Oh,
where shall I go? Where shall I go? Where shall I go? For to ease my trembling mind.
Oh, where shall I go?
Oh, where shall I go? Where shall I go? For to ease my trembling. Joy of my soul, like the sea, they will cry.
take your Bibles and open to the 12th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 14. And so we read as follows. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What a practical portion of God's word. The love of the brethren to those about, in the world but not of the world. Now notice, as a believer, in the world but not of the world, you have certain social relationships and duties to others. And in this section that I've just read to you, Romans 12, 14 to 21, we find our duty to those outside of the household of faith, to the world at large, dead in trespasses and sins. And one will find it a very hostile world. For bear in mind, please, the righteous, that is those that are out and out for Christ, are hated. And Satan, the god of this present world system, the enemy directly opposed to God and all his saints, is ever against the brethren, daily, hourly, accusing the brethren. And our Lord, before his ascension, told his disciples, In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so first of all, we have the believer's duty, practice in the hour of persecution. Now notice it, please. Verse 14, Bless them which persecute, bless and curse not. In verse 13, where it speaks of given to, the thought is pursuing. That is given to hospitality. It means to pursue hospitality. And it's identically the same word as persecution in verse 14. Thus we are to pursue hospitality. We are to bless those who pursue us, persecute us. These words are an echo of Matthew 5, 10, and 11. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are you supposed to do? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you expect to go to heaven on a bed of roses? No. The more out and out you are for Christ, the more you'll be subject to false accusations and to persecution. In Proverbs 29:10, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. And I'll tell you, everyone that stands out professing the name of Christ and is a real born-again believer, he is a testimony to the wicked. Strange, isn't it? I went into a meeting some time ago. They knew that I was a minister. The crowd seated around the room were smoking, but why was it? The minute I stepped into the room, I never said a word. Their cigarettes were put away. You are a testimony, a witness, and the world has high regard for those that are really out and out for Christ. And in the 5th chapter of Acts, we read about the early apostles being persecuted and how they rejoiced that they were worthy, counted worthy to suffer for his name. We read in the 29th verse of that chapter, Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. And down to the 40th verse, And to him they agreed. And when they had called all the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Again, in 2 Corinthians, all that 11th chapter, read it at your leisure, how Paul suffered imprisonment and beatings and stripes and starvation and persecution and misunderstanding and false accusations. It's a marvelous chapter, but listen, Paul could say through it all, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, persecutions for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And blessed is the man when temptation comes, will not go under, but be a real testimony. But listen, I want to send out a word of warning to you. This will come true someday. Mark my word. As the time of the Lord's return comes near and nearer, those that are born again are a testimony unto Christ, may seal their testimony with their lives. You have no conception how some of the bloodless isms are on the march in America and heading up the apostate religious system. And those that name the name of Christ and are saved by grace through faith, not of works, it may be our blessed privilege to die for him. I send that out as a warning. And as Satan knows that his time draws to a close, he'll be of great anger, hating the righteous, and persecution of the righteous will increase. And may God give you courage. May God give you a backbone to be able to stand, and if need be, to go to the stake rejoicing that you're counted worthy to die for it. You know, persecution to the church today will purify it. And a lot of so-called professing believers that have their names upon the church roll but are not born again will either come to a real born-again experience or they'll fall by the wayside. I'm just warning you. So think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you, and they will come, but be in the state like the martyrs of old, and in the midst of persecution to stand firm in these closing days. And then he goes on in that 12th chapter of Romans, and he says, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep for them that weep. And in the 16th verse, we have the thought of single-mindedness. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Oh, how wonderful it is to know a man or a woman who is single-minded will not say one thing to you to please you and then turn around to someone else and say something entirely different. God help us to be single-minded. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then it says, mind not high things. And there's a person spoke of it in 3 John, the 9th verse, Diotrephes. It says, who loves to have the preeminence. Oh, it's a marvelous statement there. How this man in the early church went against us with malicious words, it's recorded. Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbidding them that they would, and casting them out of the church. This man in the early days loved to have the high place and to have the preeminence, loved power, loved authority. God says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That is, let yourself be carried away with, be accommodated to people and circumstances very different from yourself or your own taste. I'll not forget for a long time. Mr. Green, the leader of the chorus choir, will know about this. I was invited to speak to a certain missionary conference in the Southwest, and the speaker just previous to me, a man of great learning, everything was wrong with the bed, everything was wrong with the food, and word came to me that they were having trouble with him, and I said, well, to myself, for God's grace, I'm going to try to give a good testimony. Well, I tell you, when I got into the bunk that night, my knees almost touched my chin. It was a hard place. I couldn't turn over on my side. But I slept that way all night, never complained. I didn't complain because there wasn't any hot water. All lesson. And the food wasn't the best, but I never said a word. And I did it by God's grace. When the conference was over, many of the natives of that section came to me and thanked me for the testimony. I say it for God's glory. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And James, you know, the second chapter speaks very clearly. And I've seen this happen so many times in my meeting. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. I've been in meetings, and I frankly confess to you, where someone has leaned over to me and says, I'm going to invite so-and-so up out of the audience. You know, he's worth $1 million. And I've shuddered. I didn't know whether he was saved or not. They were looking upon the outward appearance and the fact that he had a pull and he had a lot of money and win favor with him. I want to say something to you out over this network. You can never win favor with the world. The world hates you. They have respect unto you when you stand up and are a testimony out and out for Jesus Christ. God goes on, he says, be not wise in your own conceits. There's nothing more despicable in my own eyes than a fellow that's conceited. For the proverb says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Nobody else thinks so, but a conceited, stuck-up person thinks that he knows it all. And the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He's proud, heady, high-minded. And I've learned long ago that corn, when it is green, is upright. But when it is ripe, it bends very low. 17th verse. Recompense no man evil for evil. In other words, I've heard some say, I'll get even with you. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'll give it to him. I'll repay him for the dirty tricks and the dirty words he's spoken against me. No, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. And the servant of God must not strive, but be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And then God says to provide things honest or honorable in the sight of all men. And the word honest or honorable is literally beautiful. Provide things beautiful, outwardly attractive, to maintain beautiful works, to adorn the gospel. Speaking of a certain Christian worker the other day, he said, my, can't he preach? Marvelous preacher. Look at the doctrine he gives forth. And you go and talk to him and he kicks the milk pail over. Critical, fault-finding, spoils his testimony by his unattractive works and words and deeds. Far as lieth within you, live at peace with all men. It takes two to make a quarrel. To keep the peace means hard work. But I want to close with the 21st verse, returning good for evil. For here's the real test, heaping coals of fire, hot coals of fire and hot coals of love upon the enemy's head. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. May I tell you a story? Several years ago, I won't tell you how far back, I was manager of an orange packing house in Southern California. And one of the directors, everyone involved in that except myself, has departed from this life. One of the directors had it in for me. I didn't know it at the time. But it seemed that I couldn't leave the office to go get the mail or to go out and see one of the growers about shipping his fruit. But what this director threw a colleague in the packing house who was the foreman trying to get my job would phone this director, and the director would phone back and says, is Mr. Fuller in? Secretary would say, no, he just stepped out. And when we came to the director's meeting, this director always brought it up that every time he called, I was out. I didn't know hardly how to answer it, and I let the matter take its own course. And one day, I heard that this man and his wife were seriously sick. And it just came to me to go down to the house. And I went down. It was a summer day. Window to his bedroom was open. And I said, "Mr. So-and-so, I understand you and your wife are ill. Is there anything I can do for you?" And then there was a word of hesitation. He said, "Won't you come in?" I went in to the bedroom. And I said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" He said, "Yes. We need some bread and some milk and some food." I said, "I'll be glad to go uptown and get it for you." He turned his head away from me towards the wall. He began to cry. And from that day to the very day that he died, he became one of my best friends, recompensing good for evil and heaping coals of fire upon his head. It's hard to do. The natural man says, "Get even. Take it out on him." It's all foreign. What I've been preaching to you along this line out of 12th of Romans is foreign to the old nature. The old nature is selfish, self-seeking. The idea is make a fast buck regardless of the manner or method used. Ride roughshod over the weak and the helpless. Get the good or get what you can while the getting is good. But listen, the moment that you accept Jesus Christ, it changes. All things become new. And by the grace of God, you become humble. Your conversation seasoned with salt. A man of few words. Slow to anger, long-suffering, doing good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith, and you heap coals of fire upon your enemy's head. Would you like to become such a new creation today? You can by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. No one stirring, please. And in this audience, here in Long Beach and out over the radio audience, God's calling you to a real walk with Him, to be a testimony for Him, to adorn the gospel, and to beseech men and women everywhere to be reconciled to God through Christ. Will you give your hearts to Him today and accept Him as your personal Savior? And while our heads are bowed in this splendid visible audience in Long Beach today, how many will put their hands up and say, "Brother Fuller, pray for me. I need Christ as my personal Savior. I want to accept Him today as my Savior." Put your hand up and say, "Pray for me." God bless you, sailor boy. God bless you, soldier boy. God bless you down here, lady. Do I see a hand any place, anywhere, another hand just before we close? Say, "Brother Fuller, remember me in prayer. I here now want to accept Christ as my personal Savior and be remembered in prayer." Continue in prayer, please. This is Charles E. Fuller bidding you goodbye and God's richest blessing upon you.